The People Show, Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schmatti, here with
that
you.
That intro into my veins.
Coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider. Powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net.
It's okay, the intro gotcha.
It did. I was caught up in the moment.
Pumped up.
650, 650.
I like that Canucks Central intro.
It's a great intro. It's a great intro.
It's so serious.
Go ahead and text in 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text line.
Which license-free music that we ripped off of APM sounds better?
What's the better intro? The People
Back
Show?
Back in my day, you actually had to build intros for shows.
Dude, I would make some killer intros back in the day. Back in the day. Text in 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Not just about that, but whatever you want to talk about. A lot of Canucks stuff we'll be getting into today. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at DunbarLumber.com. Yes, the Canucks play today against Vegas.
Oh, boy.
Get pumped. Things are going really well. Five games left. Going in hot. Maybe not. Let's get into the tea, though.
I heard someone say this today, and it's quite profound.
Wow. Way to start the tea.
In Canucks Nation, for the past few years, we are very used to the Canucks playing poorly for a majority of the year, and then near the end, when the games don't matter as much, they would play themselves out of good draft seeding and frustrate Canucks fans.
They would finish hot, essentially.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this year is the complete opposite.
In the year this you don't year, want that to happen.
This year, they start red hot, play red hot, and down the stretch, when you want to be red hot heading into the playoffs, they frustrate Canucks fans and play poorly.
So are we at the point now where, hey, there's five games left? Are we at the point now where it's like, hey, even if you go on a run to end the season here, you're still not going in hot, quote unquote, unless you win like all of these five games?
Well, process matters.
Sure.
So if you play well for five games, regardless of score, then you can still go in hot.
Right.
But
I think it requires a win over Vegas and a win over Edmonton though.
Yes.
Because the process can be good.
Just play well.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first bit of tea from the weekend. The Canucks get rocked by the LA Kings 6-3. What gives?
So we talk about playing well. I do think the Canucks played overall well on Saturday. Special teams are a big issue, though.
Special teams, special plays.
They were not special players.
They were not, no.
The penalty kill was not great. Casey DeSmith, I think, had a...
average game.
He had an average game. I would say below average. Yeah. I know some people are like, he did all he could. I disagree. I think he's had better games in Vancouver, and that was a poor performance from him.
But the difference between Casey and Demko is the consistency. One is going to have a higher peak and remain at that peak more consistently than the other. Mm-hmm. And that's why one is the backup and one is not.
Yeah, and like I have no issue with Casey DeSmith as a backup, but this is why we see when a backup's put in a starter role, it gets a little stressful, especially when you have to play them against the good teams like the LA Kings right now or like Vegas tonight. And I know that's a different – we're getting into something different in the tee.
But can you really
DeSmith
chop up –
because DeSmith won't be playing tonight.
Can you really chop up the Canucks' struggles to Demko's absence? Because it really doesn't feel that way to me.
I would say no, but like also, if you go through the games, a lot of them were close losses until recently.
But what did we say in those close losses? They didn't play well.
Yeah. And that's why, I'm not putting it all on Demko's absence. I do think the combination of Demko and Elias Lindholm being out is maybe more of an issue. Lindholm especially, because, look, I know he wasn't scoring, but he's still a legitimate offensive player that gives you more upside than other players you have in your lineup right now. And he's a good defensive player.
Yeah.
So the lack of scoring, Lindholm does play a part in that. And by the way, he was skating today.
That was
Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, I was going to put that in, but
That's the update you need.
Yeah, Elias Lindholm skating today, will not play tonight.
Will not play tonight, but obviously seems like he is getting close to a return, and they need it, man. Like, they are just, you look at the top six right now, and I think Pettersson played well on Saturday. Tell me if you disagree. I think he played well on Saturday. But regardless, they need another piece in their top six right now. The guys they're putting there trying to figure it out, I don't think are working. I still think Joshua and Garland fit better with Teddy Bluger in a third line role. Not to say that they've been playing bad with JT Miller, but I just don't think it's the best use and the best way to set up your lineup.
See, when you say they've played well, does that do anything for your confidence? Because it does nothing for mine.
No. Like it's more of a they're not playing horribly right now. So it's not like you have to go from being a basement team to being a, hey, it's the playoffs, get ready and go team.
Is that just their floor?
Currently, I think this is their floor.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So, like, but you don't really want a team playing at their floor with five games left. And the other thing to bring up with all of this is that, okay, you got the Oilers nipping at your heels, but you've pretty much cemented your playoff spot.
Yeah.
You're in. How much of this is guys just looking towards the playoffs and realizing, like, man, it's been a slog of a season. I got nothing left.
I mean, they should have something left. Because realistically, like, a week or two ago, you could have made that excuse. In March, late March, you could have been like, hey, you know what? They're conserving energy a bit. But even then, like, the guys were still playing a lot of minutes. Quinn Hughes was still playing over 25 minutes a game. They weren't executing like a team that was just taking rest and conserving energy. And now they've gotten to a point where it's too late to still be doing that. And the other part, the bigger part, I think, is you're not good enough. The bigger part is you're not good enough to have that credibility.
What do you mean? They're top of their division.
But they've never done this before. And as a team, you need to go in as on fire as you can. If you're a team that's hasn't been in the playoffs in recent years, if you're going to have success, and they're not doing that right now, we'll see. Like, look, I do think there's still enough time to, if you play well against Vegas tonight, you keep it going against Arizona, and then a big, big game against Edmonton on Saturday, they're nipping at your heels. If you can, the Vegas and Edmonton games are the two ones I'm putting the most focus on. If you can play well in those, and then hopefully carry some of the momentum, I start to be a little less concerned, but I'm at the point now where there's no way all my concerns would be gone by the time they reach the playoffs, regardless of what happens in these last five games.
A couple of texts in the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. This one from Jeff in East Hill. Boys, when is Demko back? So by all reports, it sounds like he won't return until Saturday at the earliest.
Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts. You know him.
Yeah, I didn't want to mention that, but okay.
Well, that's where this is the source.
Yes,
mentioned on 32 Thoughts that it seems like the earliest would be Saturday for Demko.
It sounds obnoxious when I say it.
It's fine. Which would make sense. That's a big game. You want to win that game.
Yeah.
And
you also need Demko to ramp it up heading into the playoffs.
Yeah. Like, realistically, I think you wanted him back tonight, and he's not coming back tonight. You don't need him against Arizona.
Corey Schneider made a great point today on Donnie and Dolly, NHL Network's Corey Schneider, former Canuck, of course. You're trying to get him on the show, weren't you?
Not recently.
We should try.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great guest.
Yeah, he's good.
Great Yannick impression. Yeah. Anyway, back to my point. Corey Schneider was on Donnie and Dolly today. He made a great point. He said, when you're coming back from an injury this late in the season, it's like everybody is on a train, and that train is going 100 miles an hour, and it is your job as a goalie to get onto the train as quick as possible. Mm. Everyone's going way faster than you are, and because you're coming off of injury, it's such a struggle to then catch up to the rest of the pack. That made me think, okay, how many games does Thatcher Demko really need to be in tip-top playoff shape for game one? A couple weeks away here.
Yeah, a couple weeks away. Maybe less than a couple weeks, because from all we've heard, the games are probably starting on the 20th or the 21st. We don't know which day the Canucks will be on, but that's less than 2 weeks away. Thatcher Demko, look, if he is back for Saturday, I almost say, hey, just give him the remaining three games. Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg.
Depending on how he feels, but yeah, I would hope so.
The remaining three games. And look, if he gets through the Calgary game and he's like, you know what, I feel great in prime condition right now, I'm good to go. Maybe you don't have to send him to Winnipeg. You can give that to DeSmith, whatever. But I would say at least two of those games. And if he's not back for Saturday, then I have some much bigger concerns. I do wonder if it's going to be more difficult for Thatcher Demko to get back up to game speed or Elias Lindholm. Not that
I feel like goaltending would be tougher.
I don't know. I feel like goaltending, it's... And look, I know nothing about
it. Because if it's
position.
A knee injury.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Down on, maybe it just depends on the injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. But if he's back for Saturday, I do think you give him as many of those final three games as possible.
Speaking of goaltenders, Artur Shelovs is going to start tonight against Vegas. You a fan of the decision?
I am, because like I said, on Saturday, I think DeSmith was not great. And Artur Shelovs, I know he only played against Anaheim and Arizona. Those teams aren't very good at hockey, so he won. And I think in Arizona...
Wow.
Am I wrong? Anaheim and Arizona?
Just taking it away from Arturs, eh? Well, he only won because they're bad teams. That's what you just said.
Last week, I said on the show, I was like, hey, I'm gaining confidence in him, and I want to see him get a shot against a good team. I wondered if we were going to see him against LA on Saturday. We obviously did not.
Sure.
But
have.
I'm excited to see what he does tonight against Vegas. It's a big spot. The one conversation I've seen come up is like, should he be the backup if he plays well against Vegas?
No.
I don't think that's necessary, nor would it make sense.
One guy has experience, the other does not.
Yeah. But this these are the more games he can get in the NHL as the season goes on, is just more confidence in him being the potential backup next year
absolutely.
For the Canucks. And that's more so what I'm looking towards. And right now, here's my thing with DeSmith and Shelovs is against competition like Vegas or like LA, I think DeSmith is a safer option, but does he give you a better chance of winning than Shelovs does? Like, if you're going into a game
tonight...
On average, yes.
Yeah.
But if you're going into a game tonight against LA, would you rather, or against Vegas, would you rather see Shelovs or DeSmith get the start?
On a regular night in the middle of the season, DeSmith.
But with their current play right now?
DeSmith.
I disagree.
It is a merit. Here's the thing I love about talk. It's a meritocracy. So if you play poorly, you're going to take a back seat and the next guy's going to get an opportunity. I really respect that. But if you're asking me on merit, who would I go with and who would give me the most confidence, it's still going to be Casey DeSmith.
The way I view it is Casey DeSmith is going to give you a baseline performance every game.
Correct. But so is Arturs.
I think Shelovs, while the reason I'm making this case is because I think he has more upside. He has more chance of stealing you a game.
Also, you're saying his ceiling is higher.
His ceiling is higher, but the floor is also lower.
Okay.
So
there you go. So I'm vouching for a higher floor. You're vouching for a higher ceiling.
Yes, because basically I think if you're going to beat a team like Vegas with how you've been playing recently, you need someone with a higher ceiling that can potentially steal you a game as opposed to someone who's going to give you a baseline like Casey DeSmith would.
Speaking of the Vegas Golden Knights, the next bit of tea, Tomáš Hertl will debut for the Vegas Golden Knights tonight.
We'll see. I wonder about how big of an impact he's going to make off the bat. Probably not too much from Daily Faceoff.
He's going to score a hat trick now because Josh said he's
we'll
not going to have an impact tonight.
From Daily Faceoff, it seems like he's on the second power play unit and on the second line on the wing with Chandler Stephenson down the middle. I don't know how accurate that'll be come game time, but that's how it looks like it's shaping up right now. Vegas has been hot, man, and getting another piece. So when Corey Schneider mentioned something like that, like, hey, you're coming back from injury, you're trying to get on this train that's going 100 miles per hour, Vegas is another example of that. I wonder if it's easier to join a team that's been hot recently like Vegas, and they're like, hey, welcome. We would love if you made an impact, but realistically, we don't need
you. I always wonder if
it's
harder.
I don't know.
Because if you jump in and you're the reason why a line struggles, then that's on you.
Sure. But there's less expectation to make an impact, Whereas when Lindholm comes back, I think people are like, hey, man, like, you need to help fix some stuff.
Yeah, I could see that.
Whereas Hurdle, it's like, hey, if you don't fix something, that's fine.
See, I disagree, though, with that, with it, this specifically, because it's like, we traded a bunch of stuff for you. We need you to have an impact.
Sure.
Like, there's expectations on Hurdle to
They need an eventual impact from him, but they also have him for however many more years,
yeah,
and they're not too worried about it. So, I don't know. 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text line. I did want to hit some text before we move on. Table Saw James. So, Shelov Sheeling is higher.
Yes.
Yes. Shelov Sheeling is higher. This one, plain and simple, he won those two games because they were playing against AHL teams. No, anybody could have won those games.
Sign your text.
Yeah, that one's unsigned. And that's why I do want to see him play against Vegas. I wanted to see him play against LA because if he is bad tonight, then you know. You know?
Sure.
Then you can move forward and you can maybe plan differently in the offseason.
One game's going to make or break Shelov's career.
Not really.
That's what you're saying.
But it's still, it gives you more of a resume.
Yeah, sure.
And it's a good team when he hasn't played against.
It's all about
team.
Data.
So we'll see how it goes.
The next bit of tea, Jonathan Lekkerimäki gets the call for the Swedish national team for the Worlds. His stint in Abbotsford is over.
Mm-hmm.
One goal during his time here. Scored his first goal in the AHL over the weekend, I believe.
Yep.
Looked good. Didn't do much on the stat sheet, but by all accounts, people quite impressed with the young Swede.
Yeah, and I think it's a, you take it, you're okay with him taking it slow because next year I don't think there's any expectation that he's going to be in the NHL, or at least starting in the NHL. So this stint, the six-game stint, was more about getting your feet wet, getting used to the ice in North America, maybe getting used to some of your potential teammates next year in Abbotsford. Scored a goal, got an assist. From all accounts, to your point, he looked decent. So we'll see how he does in the Worlds. I don't really, like, I'm not going to put too much stock into that performance, but I think it was really good for him to get that experience going into next year. We'll see how much of an impact it has. Maybe next year he comes into training camp and he's like, hey, I really benefited from those six games in Abbotsford. I knew what I had to do to get ready to play against American Hockey League competition. But as far as the Worlds go, good for him. I don't know if I'm going to put too much stock into it, though.
By the way, May 10th, they start in Prague and Ostrava in the Czech Republic, or Czechia, as we're supposed to call them now.
Mm-hmm.
Next bit of news. This came out this afternoon, bit of tea, rather. Scottsdale's mayor has professed that he will not support the Arizona Coyotes' new arena development should they win the land bid. With infrastructure assets.
So they don't have the water assets.
Yeah.
To give to Arizona to the Coyotes.
Yeah.
That's
pretty nuts. It's pretty important.
Yeah. It's crucial.
Now,
I think.
I'm sure with enough money you could figure something out.
I don't know. It feels like you need
some help from the city.
Every time we talk about Arizona, there's always another reason it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And even me, as somebody like who believes in Arizona hockey, and like, hey, I think theoretically, if you had a good situated stadium, this could all work out in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
They're just trying, man.
The run is. I get it. Have you also seen the Coyotes Twitter account?
Yeah, it's unhinged.
It is crazy.
Yeah,
it's. And there was the thing about the owner's son having access to the Twitter account. Now you can kind of tell every time the son is the one tweeting.
Well, we don't know it for sure.
But it's like, we think so. It's
just weird, man.
It's weird. And it also just feels like nobody in Arizona, in terms of like everyone in a position of power, wants this to work.
Correct, yeah.
Because they're not giving a helping hand whatsoever. And when you're a team that's already kind of struggling to stay afloat, that hurts a lot. And so we'll see how it all works out. I just don't see how this carries into next year staying in Phoenix or what goes on there. So I'm very far out on this whole Arizona Coyote situation.
I'll believe it when I see it, Josh.
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it. It's funny. These things can put a real black eye on a league. It's doing it for the NHL. It has been for a while. Major League Baseball going through something very similar now.
With where the Athletics?
Athletics are going to play in Sacramento for up to 4 years.
Yeah.
In a minor league ballpark the size of, like, Nat Bailey, pretty much.
Yeah, it is different, though, because it's not like, hey, you're playing there while Oakland is trying to figure out a new stadium.
Playing here while we hopefully build a stadium in Vegas that we're not sure we can build yet, but we're going to try and move to Vegas.
It's still like a very miscalculated, mishandled decision by Oakland.
By the people who, the ownership.
Athletics, sorry. But at least in Arizona, you're like, hey, we're doing this because we want to stay here.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem like it's going to work. There was some other notes today regarding potential team relocation or expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Groups from Atlanta and from Salt Lake City met with the NHL in New York today.
I can't wait to do a little road trip to Salt Lake.
Would be fun.
Do you know what they do in Salt Lake? They have soda shops.
Yeah.
What's so funny?
Nothing. Okay. They do other stuff in Salt Lake too.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. They have soda shops.
Okay.
Like, and that's all they do. You drive up. Relax, Victor. You drive up. It's drive-through. And you have a long list of pops.
Right.
And you get like additives, like creamers and flavors and.
And this is a big thing.
It's a big thing in Utah.
Oh.
And I want to try.
So now you're just hoping a team goes to Salt Lake City so that you can go try sodas.
Yeah. Well, it's something to do while you're there.
Fair enough. What else would you do while you're there?
I don't know. Hike?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Speaking of fast food, before we get to our next guest.
This better be a good transition.
McDonald's.
Oh, is this part of the tea?
No.
Oh, okay.
Tea's done. But since we're talking about fast food, I wanted to bring this up. They've got their remix menu out right now.
By Lil Yachty.
Is that who is promoting it?
Yeah.
Lil
Boat.
Okay, relax. They put out an item that's been like a hack for a while. And only some McDonald's will actually do it for you. It's the Apple Pie McFlurry.
Mm-hmm.
Where you basically just ask for a plain McFlurry and then have them blend a hot apple pie into it.
I didn't know.
It's delightful. It's fantastic. I used to get them all the time. And now it's a real thing and they can't tell you no. By the way, this happened to me the other day. This is exhausting. I went to McDonald's. I wanted to get an apple pie McFlurry.
Exhausting. It sounds exhausting.
It was actually, after Slow Pitch on Sunday.
Right.
And I pulled up to the drive-thru window and I said, hey, can I have an apple pie McFlurry? And she says, oh, sorry, we're not serving ice cream right now. Which I guess is the new way that for them to say, sorry, the ice cream machine is broken, which it's not. It never is.
What time did you go at?
6:15, 6:20.
Oh, like,
middle of the night, middle of the evening.
That's definitely them just being
dinner
like,
rush.
Broken, man. I don't know. As someone that worked at McDonald's, they are legitimately broken.
No, they're not.
Yeah, dude.
Stop it.
And you have to call a repair person in, and they have like a specific repair person for it. It's the worst.
It's 2024. How do we still have this issue? Anyway.
I don't know. They're proprietary.
Apple Pie McFlurry.
Proprietary.
Proprietary?
I love papaya. Proprietary machines, and they can only be repaired by a specific company. It's a whole thing. It was annoying even when I was working there, but yeah, it sucks. I feel like apple pie McFlurries are a little too soft for me. Like, I like a good crunch, like a Smarties or an M&M.
Okay.
What do you mean?
I thought you meant like soft, like not manly enough.
They're not edgy enough.
Yeah, exactly.
For me? No, that's not the case. That's not the case.
Okay, we got to go.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep those texts coming in. On the other side, we're going to talk to Matt Eumanns of VSiN on college basketball, March Madness, everything going on. The final tonight. We'll get into that on the other side. It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Tremati on Sportsnet 650.